We are holding on Pei Zion Amud Aleph, the last line. Best Hashem, we'll finish the Masechta today. Continuing on the subject of asking Mechila. So far we established that, so far we talked about certain basic dinim of it. You need to ask three times, and you have a machlokas among the Mephoshim, whether it means that that's the maximum. You're not supposed to ask more than three, unless in a circumstance like we're going to have in the following Gemara now, or does it mean you're not required to ask more than three, but you can ask more times if you want. We'll see soon that depends on different deer size in the Gemara. We talked about that you need three people with you to ask. Each time you need to ask a different way, etc. So the Gemara tells you, Rav have a posik sidra kamei de Rebbe. Rav was one time teaching a section of Nach in front of Rebbe. Sidra, Rashi says, means a parasha of Nevi'im or Ksuvim. So he's reading it and then teaching it and explaining it in front of Rebbe. Oyel, also Rav Chiya, in the middle, Rav Chiya came in. So out of respect for Rav Chiya, Hodel Resha, Rav went back to the beginning and started over again. Soon, Ayo by Kapara next came in afterwards, Hodolaresha, and again Rav started over out of respect for him. Also, Reb Shimon ben Rebbe, Hodolaresha, and Reb Shimon ben Rebbe came, same thing. But then, good morning, Ali, Hod, the top of Pezayin Amad Beit. Then, also Reb Chanina ben Reb Chama, then Reb Chanina ben Reb Chama came, Omar, and Rav said to himself, or said maybe in public, Kula hai neheder v'nezel, should I be going that many times back? This is already the fourth time. Loy Hodder, so he didn't go back. He continued from where he was up to. Ikped Reb Chanina, so now Reb Chanina was upset about that he felt, now, granted, I mean, how many times can Rav be expected to go back? But in other words, why only for him did he not go back, and for everybody else he did? Actually, it might even be that Reb Chanina, the fact that Reb Chanina is offended, might not even be so justified. And nevertheless, we're going to say that Rav wanted to be machmir on himself to go ask him mechila anyway, because just the fact that he felt hurt, even if there's not such a valid reason for it, might be reason enough for Rav to go ask mechila. So, also Rav.
What about being late? Isn't that also a lack of kavod for Rav?
That's what we're going to explain soon, why he didn't want to be mechila him. We're going to get to that. So also Rav Gabe Tlesa Mala Yom Kippuri, Rav started going every year, every Yom Kippur, he would go to ask Mechila. He ended up doing that 13 times, V'lo Yifayis, and yet Rav Chanina did not want to be Mechila. So now we have to figure out why. First of all, let's figure out why is Rav going to him 13 times? We said before, three times. V'hechi Oben Hochi. So how is Rav doing that? Not more than three times. So according to the Mephoshim, who understand that you're not supposed to ask more than three times, then the question is how Rav can do more than that. According to the understanding that you don't have to do more than three times, then the question is why is Rav doing 13 times? And the answer is Rav Shiny. The answer is Rav is different. He was machmir on himself. So yes, he doesn't have to, but he wanted to be machmir on himself. Now, the a number of the Rishonim, for example, the Rambam and others, explain that this that we're saying three times is only when it's one chaver to another. But if it's a Talmud to his Rebbe, then you have to go as many times as necessary, even 1,000 times, the Rambam says. And what it is they learn that from all Gemara over here. They have the Girsa, not Rav Shiny, but Rav Boy Shiny. It's different with his Rebbe. And according to that, Rav Chanina is Rav's Rebbe, in the sense that Rav Chanina was the Rosh Hashiva. Hello, in the sense that Rav Chanina was the Rosh Hashiva. So therefore, he's considered Rav's Rebbe. And therefore, Rav is in fact obligated up Yalocha to go as many times as necessary. It's a little hard to figure that out according to the Seder's Manim, actually, because we said before that Rav was doing this in front of Rebbe. The Gemara tells us that actually what happened was when Rebbe passed away, he said that Rav Chanina should be appointed the new Rosh Hashiva, but in the event Rav Chanina didn't want to because Rav Office was older than him, so Rav Office took the position instead, and only after Rav Office passed away, only then did Rav Chanina take over, and that was long after Rav had moved back to Bavel. So according to that, then, so according to that, what's going on that we're considering Rav Chanina, Rav's Rebbe. So one answer might be, in fact, some of the poskim say that for this purpose, and this is brought in the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch, that for this purpose, a person's Rebbe is not only somebody, not only his actual Rebbe that he learned most of his Torah from, his Rabbi Muhak, but even somebody who he learned something of Torah from. So in that case, the likelihood is at some point Rav learned something in Torah from Rav Chanina. After all, the fact that Rebbe is going to appoint him the next Rosh Hashiva shows that he was a very high caliber level Talmud Chacham, and therefore that might be it. Okay. So now,
what did Rav do?
So we said that ironically, what you're asking to do is what Rav Chanina didn't do for Rav Chanina. He was teaching something and didn't start over when Rav Chanina came in, even though he had started over previously when other people had come in the middle.
Oh,
yeah.
Good thing I'm not Rav Chanina.
Okay. All right. So yeah. So the question is, okay, so that answer is what Rav did. What about Rav Chanina? Rav Chanina hechi obin hachi. How could Rav Chanina do such a thing? Not be Meichel Rav right away, let alone after 13 times. Didn't Rava say that a person who overlooks his midos, in other words, that he has a right to be upset, but he is Meichel on it and doesn't consider it important. So Hashem, so to speak, overlooks his averus, and not overlooks, but in other words, is willing to give. No, the Mysterium is going to be that. We're going to finish today, Ben Sashem.
Tonight?
Let's talk about it afterwards. Okay. So, so in that case, just for that reason alone, Rav Chanina should be Meichel. I mean, you have a Mishnah in Bava Kama even that says that a person shouldn't be Achzori Milimcho, but okay, the Gemara knew already that Rav Chanina must have a good reason for it, but still, the good reason might be because, as the Gemara is going to say, something that potentially might harm him, Rav Chanina, but still, from the point of view of Kol HaMavir Amidosav, it should be going Lefinim Mishrat Adin and forgiving Rav. So no, El Rav Chanina Chel Mechazi Leil Rav. What happened was Rav Chanina previously had a dream about Rav, that they hanged Rav on a palm tree. Now, a palm tree being a very tall tree, and also Tzadik Katar Yifrach, it's a sign that he's going to be lifted up. He's going to become a Rosh Hashiva. Ugmiri, and we know the Kabbalah, because it's a four declaration, happy that a person who's in a dream is hanged on a palm tree, it shows that he's going to become a leader, he's going to become a Rosh Hashiva. Amar, so Rav Chanina says to himself, Shmamina boila mevet reshusa, that shows that Rav is going to be exercising leadership. So now the problem was, as we said, Rav Chanina was the Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael. If Rav stays in Eretz Yisrael, what's going to happen? How is this dream going to come true? Necessarily, it's going to require that Rav Chanina is going to have to pass away. He didn't want that, obviously. Therefore, he says, this way Rav will leave Eretz Yisrael eventually, and he'll leave to Babel, and there he can be a Rosh Hashiva without it causing any problems for me. So now, there are two ways of understanding this. According to the way we have it in front of us in Rashi, it comes out that Rav Chanina, the reason why he's not showing, obviously in his heart, he forgave Rav, that's such a minor thing especially, but that he pretended not to, was not for Rav's benefit, but rather for his own, that he himself shouldn't be harmed. On the other hand, the Ramah understands that where the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, that you're allowed to hold back Mechila if it's for the good of the other person. So that would mean, in other words, now how does it come to the good of Rav in this case? So the Noisa Kalim on Shulchan Aruch explained that according to the Ramah, you would have to say that the vote is that if Rav remains in Eretz Yisrael and becomes a Rosh Hashiva there, he's going to end up being involved a lot with Tzorchei Tzibur. Being a Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael required not just teaching Torah, but also getting involved in various other aspects of leadership, and therefore that would interfere with his time, that would take away from his time for learning and teaching Torah. So therefore, it's for Rav's good that he should leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Bavel. So now, actually, in Shulchan Aruch, it does mention, and Alter Rebbe mentions both. You are allowed to hold back Mechila where it's for the good of the other person, but also where it's for your own good, like Rashi is saying, because after all, Chayecha Koidmin. So for that reason alone, Rav Chanina would have a valid reason to pretend to not be Meichel Rav. Okay, fine. Now let's talk about the dinim. We know that on Yom Kippur you have to say vidui. So let's talk about the dinim of that. Mitzvahs vidui erev yom kippurim im chashecha. The proper way of the proper time to do vidui is on erev yom kippur before dark, meaning after yom kippur already began. However, the Chachamim said he should say vidui before he eats and drinks. Shemit Torah daite b'suda, because he might get confused during the suda. He might get drunk, and then when it comes to the beginning of Yom Kippur, he's not in a mental state of mind to be able to say a proper vidui. And then even though he said vidui before he ate and drank, so this is why we say vidui in mincha of erev Yom Kippur, because that's before Soda Mafsekas. That way, in other words, in case he gets drunk during the Soda Mafsekas, he can't say it afterwards. So even though he said vidui afterwards, misvadel acha sheyochavishta, he should also again say vidui after the Soda. Shema eira dvar kokola besoda, because something may have gone wrong during the Soda. Namely, Rashi explains that bar kokola means he may have done some avera during the Soda. So therefore, like now he did a new avera for which he needs a new vidui. Now, there is a whole different explanation that many Rishonim have. Many Rishonim have a different girsa over here, where without the first part of Shemati Torah Daitai, and according to Rif, Rambam, others, and they explain that Dvar Kokola does not mean, like Rashi says in Aveda, it means rather that something might go wrong, as in, for example, Rambam puts it, he might choke during the Suda or something like that. So therefore, so they learn, in other words, according to them, the right. Gemara is not telling us two separate things, vidui before the meal and vidui after the meal. Rather, it's saying one thing, vidui before the meal. And the reason is because of what happens if he chokes, for example, during the meal, and then he might even die without having done tshuva before Yom Kippur. So therefore, we should do vidui before that.
No, we do vidui.
So what do we do as far as vidui? So we say it in Mincha of Erev Yom Kippur, which is before Soda Mafsekas. Now you have like this. Rashi had mentioned the point over here, actually Gemara had mentioned the point, that the mitzvah of vidui is Erev Yom Kippurim im chashecha. Most of the Rishonim understand that what that means is in Ma'ariv. That really, technically, the first time to do vidui should be in Ma'ariv on Yom Kippur night. But because of these potential problems involving the Sodom of Sekas, the Chachamim said that we should say it in the afternoon as well. The Ramban understands that Erev Yom Kippurim im Chashecha means right before Yom Kippur begins. And he understands, in other words, the same way as, for example, a person brings a korban and they say vidui when they're doing smicha on it and take it for smicha shchita, right after smicha and vidui, you shech the animal. The same way the vidui of Yom Kippur should be right before Yom Kippur begins. So therefore, according to him, Me'ikur adin, you have to have one right before Yom Kippur begins, meaning after the Sodom of Sekas, before Kol Nidre. And then in addition, we're saying you have another one before the meal in case he chokes or something else goes wrong during the meal, or in case he gets drunk during the meal or whatever. So it comes out, according to the Ramban, that you should really have on Erev Yom Kippur, or before Yom Kippur really begins, two vidurim, one during Mincha and one before Kol Nidre. So, and that's actually what it is. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch, and it is the minhag that we don't have. It's not printed in the Siddur, but before Kol Nidre, a person should say Oshamnu and Al Chet again. It actually comes out then, according to that the Gemara is going to go on to say that you say vidui in all the tefillos of Yom Kippur. So it comes out therefore that you're saying Oshamnu 12 times then during Yom Kippur because you have two before Yom Kippur and then two each during the five tefillos of Yom Kippur.
Of them, you only do one, no?
No, because you also do afterwards in Tzlichas. Afterwards, you don't have Chazar Sashat in Ma'ariv, but afterwards when the Chazan is doing, when you Yala Tachnunenu and Shemei Atfila and the rest of those, in the middle of that, you have Oshamnu and Al-Chet. So as far as Al-Chet, you're saying it 10 times, Oshamnu comes out, you're saying 12 times.
I never heard of that.
So there is. It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be that before Kol Nidre you say Oshamnu and Al-Chet again.
But it's not in the Siddur.
It's not in the Siddur now. I mean, there maybe it doesn't necessarily have to be Oshamnu and Al-Chet per se. In the Velt, for example, they have there's a thing called Tfilah Zaka, a Tfilah that Chaya Adam composed. That's a long, extensive vidui for various things. It's not all minute to say it, but nevertheless, a person could be yotze with some other kind of vidui as well.
I go to shul and they don't tell me to do that, so I don't do
okay,
it.
Okay, so now you know. So let's go on. I mean, again, this is only required according to the Ramban. But after all, I mean, the Ramban is the shit that we should take, and it's not required according to everybody else. Not required by halacha. It's required in order to be yotze the day of the Ramban. Okay, onward. The apple piche svada iris. Now, even though a person said vidui in Ma'ariv, yisvada shachris, still he should say vidui again during the moon, during shachris. And each time the idea is, what if he did averis in between? So each time he needs kapara for the averis that he might have done between one tefillah and the next. The idea is, we learned before, Yitzumen Shayim HaKippur Mechaper, that Yom Kippur itself is Mechaper. The Gemara discusses, I think, in Masechta Shavuos, that it's primarily the end of the day that's Mechaper. So therefore, you want to have, as you go during the day, you want to have different vidui. Next, Shachris Yisvada B'Musaf. Even though you said vidui in Shachris, you say it again in Musaf. B'Musaf Yisvada B'Mincha, B'Mincha Yisvada B'Neva. The Heichan Oimrei. Now, where in davening do you say this vidui? So, Yochid Achat Filosoi, an individual, when he's davening Shemana Esrei, says it at the end of Shemana Esrei. So that's what we do. We finish Hamavarach Hasami Yisrael B'Shalom, Yiyu L'Ratzin Yimei, and then we start the vidui in the same place where usually we would just say Elakai Netzer. U'Shliach Tzibur Omri Be'emsa. The Shliach Tzibur says it in the middle of Shemana Esrei. As we have that in the middle of the bracha, middle bracha of Shemana Esrei, at the Bechartanu, he continues in the middle over there. He starts off with various other tefillos, various other piyutim and things, and eventually leads into Hashamnu and Alpeh. My Omar. So now, what's the actual vidui that he should say?
He says Alpeh before Modim.
Here, for example, long before Modim. Here, for example, let's look in the Siddur. So you have over here. It is in the older fat siddur than you have it. So for example, Tfilas Yom Kippur, which is the one that's used for Shachris and Mincha. Mm-hmm. So you have like this. See, he goes through. You don't have the piyutim in the siddur, but you have the actual Tfilah of Yom Kippur. Okay, so he goes through after the Chachanah, Vatikin Lano, Elakeinu, Elakeinu. When he gets to Ki Keil Melech Chanun V'Racham Ota, then we begin saying various other things. We begin saying Schor Rachamecha and other things, and eventually it leads into Hashamnu and Alchet. And then after he's done all that, after we're done with all of that, All all the piyutim that go with it, then the chazan continues other kainim like Avi Seinu to say Mechor Lav and so forth.
And then after
Modim,
he doesn't say
Okay. So he doesn't say Modim out. Right, he doesn't say it after Modim exactly. Right.
But we do say it.
We say it after in Shtilah Shemana Esrei. We say it after the first year of the name. Okay. So the Gemara says my Omar. What is the nusach of vidui that should be said? So Omar Rav Ati Yadei Roza Olam. Rav says the paragraph that we have in the Siddur that begins Ati Yadei Roza Olam Salom is Sisri Kochoi, which we have early on in our when we say that video, we begin with Hashamnu. So we begin on the Kanev Lakei Avseinu. And then a couple of paragraphs later we have Ati Yadei Roza Olam. Shmuel says that the paragraph that begins with Ma'amaki Alev, we don't know what that is because we don't have it in our Nuschos. The Levi Omar of Seros Kokos of Lamer. Levi says that the paragraph that begins in your Torah, it says, Kivayim Ezei Chapra Aleichem, and then you continue with a vidri from there. Rabbi Yechanan Omar Ribon Ha'olamim. Rabbi Yechanan says it's the Ribon Ha'olamim, the one that we say in morning davening, Loyalty Kesenu Anachim Apilim Pachmenu Panacha, which we also have in the Siddur. We have part of that as part of what we say during before vidui over there. So according to him, that's the main vidui. Rabbi Yehuda Omar Ki Avedesenu Rabba Belimnos B'chat. Rabbi Yehuda says that the paragraph that begins, our veras are too many to count, and our chatoim are too many to number. Rav Hamnuna Omar, Rav Hamnuna says, you say a paragraph, which we say at the end of the video, Elakai Adshalin Itzauti Enichdai, Hashem, before I was created, I was not worthy. Achshav Shen Itzauti, now that I was created, Ki Olon Itzauti, it's as if I wasn't created. The Gemara brings this in Brachas, because the Gemara is going to say soon that Rava used to say this at the end of Shemana Esrei every day. The Gemara brings over there a bunch of different Amiroyim who used to say different paragraphs at the end of Shemana Esrei, where we say Elakai Netzer. So the Gemara mentions, we're going to have an Or Gemara over here, that Rava would say that at the end of Shemana Esrei every day. So the Marashah explains, the meaning of the tefillah is, we're saying Adshalin Itzauti Eini Chedai, because you have the famous Machlokes B'Shamai B'Shiloh, is it better that a person was created or not? And Nimnu V'Gomru, they eventually voted and decided Noyach L'Shaloi Nivra, and the reason being because there's more Loisa says than Eses, so like there's more chance for a person to mess up. So actually, Netzarti Enichadai, I didn't deserve to be created in the first place, because what good does it do? I have more chances to do Averis than I have to do Mitzvah. But Achshav Shenetzarti, now that I was created, and the Gemara says over there, okay, at least once a person is created, he should be doing Mitzvah Saseh, Ke'ilu Lo Netzarti, it's as if I wasn't, because I'm not doing it, I'm falling down on the job. He continues, Ofra Ani B'chayei, I'm thus doing my life, Kavachoyme B'mistasi, how much more so after I pass away. And Marashar explains, in other words, a person has a body made out of dust, Ofra Min Ha'adama, and a neshama, and I'm allowing my body, I'm allowing the dust of my body to overpower my neshama. So behold, I'm before you like a vessel full of embarrassment and humiliation for what I'm doing wrong. Therefore, Yehiratan Milfanacha Shaloy Echta, may it be your will, Hashem, that I shouldn't sin. Now, of course, a person has Bechira Chavshis, but in other words, we're asking Hashem for an extra help to keep us from doing Averas. Umasha Chatosi, and whatever I already did sin, Meroik Barachamecha, clean up. Meroik means to clean up. Or in our Siddur, the Alter Rebbe has the Girsi Mechoik, erase. Barachamecha, with Yerachamim, Ava Loya Ude Yisurin, but not through Yisurin. When the Siddur actually say, Loya Ude Yisurin, Bechaloyim Royim, in the sense, Yisurin, sometimes there has to be. We learned the other day that there are certain Averas that can be cleaned up only with Yisurin. But there's different degrees of Yisurin. You can have the Gemara in, there's a Gemara in Erchin that mentions a person reaches his hand into his pocket to get a certain amount of change and pulls out a different amount, then that's considered Yisurin. So therefore, so we're asking Hashem, Yisurin, fine, but at least they shouldn't be Yisurin, Bechaloyim Royim. Harsh Yisurim, harsh sicknesses, and whatever. Let them be easier, kind of Yisurim.
I'd like to find more money in my pocket.
Yeah, okay. So the Gemara says, behind your Biduya, that's talking about when you needed to take out a certain number of coins, yeah. And you took out a different number. Yeah. So behind your Biduya, the Rav Kula Shapta, that paragraph of the Kayach Lenitzarji. No. I mean, they pulled out the wrong amount of money.
That's even lighter.
Okay, yeah, wow. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So behind Viduya de Rava Kula Shata, that paragraph of the Kayat Shalinitzati was Rava's Viduya at the end of his Shemina Esrei the entire year, or the Rav Hamnuna Zutta, B'yamid Kippuri, and Rav Hamnuna Zutta, Rav Hamnuna the Small, used to say it on Yom Kippur, which is what we do at the end of Viduya in the various tefillos of Yom Kippur. So now we combine together a number of these opinions. We say after Yadei Roza Olam, we say Elikayad Shalom Itzavti, and we say in the Chazan's repetition, we say part of the paragraph Riven Kol Olam, and we mentioned over there Ma'anu Mechayenu Mechatenu, etc. Okay, Amar Marzutra Loy Amoran Ela Deloy Amar Aval Anachnu Chatanu. So Marzutra says all of this is only talking about if he didn't say the words Aval anachnu chatanu, but we have sinned. Or really, actually, the nusach that we have is Aval anachnu v'abeisenu chatanu. We and our ancestors have sinned, because after all, yeah, when a person continues doing the same averus that their ancestors did, then Hashem holds that against them as well. Oichsin masi v'seim v'idem. So therefore, we want to mention that point. So once he said that, Aval omar Aval anachnu chatanu, tulei tzarech, you don't really need anything beyond that. That is the essential vidui, is those words. And the Gemara gives an example. To omar bar hamdudi. Barham Dudi, that was his name, says, "Have a ka'imna kamed Shmuel. I was standing as a Talmud in front of Shmuel on Yom Kippur. But have a Yosef, and Shmuel was sitting during Chazaras Hashatz. V'chimata shlicha b'tzibora ba'omer aval anachnu chatanu. When the Chazan got to the words aval anachnu chatanu, come make them. Then Shmuel got up." Omar, so Barham Dudi says, "Shmaminu ikur vidui hayhu." We see from what Shmuel did that those words are the essential vidui. So we learn from that two things. We learn, first of all, we learn actually a number of things. Besides the fact that that's the main vidui, we also learn from that when the Chazan is repeating Shemina Esrei, then you say vidui together with him, which is what we do. We don't do it in Mincha of Erev Yom Kippur, because the Chazan, in fact, does not say it at all in Mincha. Well, he says in Shtila Shemina Esrei, but he doesn't say in Chazaras Hashatz. For one thing, because he says it in the middle of Tefillah, that would be on Yom Kippur, where there's a middle bracha. On Erev Yom Kippur, you're still davening a weekday Shemina Esrei, there's really no place to put it in. And in any case, since we said that the only reason for it is in case Shema Titotif Daitai or Shema Yered Valkokola or whatever. So we're not there. And the whole reason for Chazaras Hashatz is really to be moitzi people who are not baki, who don't know the words of davening. Nowadays, it's not common that you have such people. So therefore, the Chachamim didn't find it necessary to have the Chazan repeat it in Chazaras Hashatz of Mincha. But in the other tefillahs, or in Ma'ariv, there's no chazaras hashatz, but afterwards you have the slichas, and he says it, so then you have to say it with the chazan. We also learn from this that vidui has to be said standing, including both the one in your own Shemoneh Esrei, where of course you're still standing anyway, and also the one that's said in chazaras hashatz or in slichas or whatever, that all of those have to be said standing, we see from our Gemara.
Also every day
vidui is said standing, that's true, but here we're talking primarily on Yom Kippur. Okay, now we mentioned before Ne'ilah. So let's get into some details about Ne'ilah. Tnan Hossam, we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Tainis, B'shloisha prakim bashana koinim noisin es kapeyim abar pomim bayoim. There are three days, or not three types of days during the year on which the koinim duchen four times in the day, b'shachlis b'mustaf b'mincha over Ne'ilah sharim, b'eluhen shloisha prakim. The 3 days are as follows, b'tanios, over Ma'amodos of Yom Kippurim. Tanius, primarily what we mean is Tanius, for example, for rain or for other disasters or things like that. We don't mean so much Tanius Tzibur, like Shivasa B'Tamuz and Asara B'Tavis and the rest of those. In fact, the Koyanim do not duchen by mincha on those, even in places where they do duchen. The reason is like this. In general, on weekdays, the Koyanim don't duchen by mincha because we're concerned that during lunch, they may have drank wine and that would make them possible to duchen. Just like it makes it impossible to do the avodah. So therefore, even on a fast day, we don't want them to be duchening by mincha, because then if we see them duchening by mincha, they may mistakenly do it fast days other times as well. However, the chazan says of the kain of the kavisenu, this is why on mincha, fast days, the chazan says of the kain of the kavisenu in chazaras hashatz, where we don't do that the other days of the year. But here we're talking here. So we're saying though that on fast days for rain and things like that, the koyanim do duchen by mincha. So that's first of all, Ma'amodos. The second one is the Ma'amodos, where the Mishnah and the Gemara tell us at some length over there in Tainus that you had, there were representatives of the Jewish people. There were 24 groups of representatives that would rotate every week. Some of them would be in the Beis HaMikdash to watch the Korbanos being brought, and they're representing the whole Jewish people in that. Others of them who are further away from Yerushalayim would go in their local shuls, and they had a special seder of tefillos and fasts and other things that they would do throughout the week on behalf of the Jewish people. So on their days of Ma'amodos, then the Koyanim would duchen multiple times on that day. Rashi brings over here from the Gemara over there. What do you mean Musaf? And where do you have Musaf on days of Ma'amodos? If it's Rosh Chodesh or whatever, then sure. But the Gemara explains over there what it means is not every one of these three types of days do we have all these tefillahs. You don't have Musaf on a fast day either. It means that that whichever tefillahs you have on such days, the Koyanim duchen. On days when there's Musaf, then it includes Musaf. On days when there's Ne'ilah, then it includes Ne'ilah. And so forth. The Rambam actually learns that on Ma'amodos they did have, even though there's not technically a tefillas Musaf, because there's no korban Musaf brought on days of Ma'amodos, nevertheless they had an extra tefillah between Shachris and Musaf, between Shachris and Mincha, and that is what the Mishnah over here is calling Musafim. Even though it's not the same as the Musafim that we say on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and so forth, where we actually mention the korban Musaf, here it was just an extra tefillah. Okay, anyway, so that's the second one. And the third one is of Yom Kippurim. Okay, so my Ne'ilas Sha'arim. So we're saying that they duchen in Ne'ilas Sha'arim. So what is Ne'ilas Sha'arim? Rashi brings from the Yerushalmi, actually, that there's two different opinions. Does it mean the locking of the gates of Shemayim, because at the end of the day, or does it mean the locking of the gates of the Azara? So at the end of the day, if they avoided, they would lock the gates. So what is Ne'ilas Sha'arim? What is the tefillah of Ne'ilah? So again, from this Mishnah, it comes out that they said Ne'ilah not only on Yom Kippur, but also on Tanius Tzibur that they had for rain and whatnot, and also on the Ma'amodos. Nowadays, of course, the only time that we have Ne'ilah is on Yom Kippur. Where there's, for example, for fasting. Not necessarily when there was a Beis HaMikdash, but when the Sanhedrin has the ability to be Gozer or Tanius Tzibur.
Okay, because then Ne'ilah makes sense both ways.
Okay, so. My Ne'ilas Sha'arim, Rav Amat Sloisa Yiserta. So Rav says it means another tefillah, a full Shemoneh Esrei of seven brachas, just like any other tefillah. Shmuel says it's not a whole separate tefillah. You just say the paragraph that includes the words Ma'anu Mechayenu. So we have in Ne'ilah, after we say Hashamnu, we start after Hivdalta Enesh Merosh, and after Noisin Yod Laposhim, and after Hivdalta Enesh Merosh. So according to Shmuel, saying those paragraphs is what we're calling the Ne'ilah. Not a full Shemoneh Esrei. So the Gemara says, Meisvit, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Yom Kippurim, on the night going into Yom Kippur, Mispaul Sheva Misvada, you daven a Shemana Esrei of seven brachas, and you say vidui doing it. The Shachos Mispaul Sheva Misvada, the Musaf Mispaul Sheva Misvada, the Mincha Mispaul Sheva Misvada, each of the Tfilos of Yom Kippur, you're saying seven brachas, you're saying seven brachas, and you say vidui. And again, we said before, Yochid says vidui at the end of Shemana Esrei, and the Chazan says it during Chazaros, in the middle of Chazaros Hashatz. Anyway, B'ni'ila mispal shevo misvada, and then during Ne'ila, you say seven brachas, and you say vidui. So it comes out like Rab, that Ne'ila consists of seven brachas. What are you telling me, Shmuel, that it's only the paragraphs after Noisin and after Hivdalta? So the Gemara answer is Tanoihi. It's a machloikas Tanoim, although we're not really going to be bringing, on the face of it, we're not going to be bringing something that shows that there's a machloikas Tanoim. Rabbeinu Hananel has a girsa that, yes, that he brings, he has in his girsa, Braisa, where they actually argue about that, where some of the Tanoim say that you that it's a full Shemana Esrei and others say that it's not. But the girsa we have in front of us doesn't have that, which leads a number of the, you can see over here, you have notes from Hagoris Hagro and Hagoris Marav Ransburg and Hagoris Mari Lander, which is the Noda of Yehuda, that have various possibilities. They take out the word, also Marsha takes out the word Tanoihi, Hagoris Marav Ransburg instead says Betu Tanya. Furthermore, there's another Braisa. Anyway, the Tanya, Yom Kippurim im Chashecha Mispalo Sheva O Misvada, Yom Kippur before it becomes dark, meaning, or as it becomes dark, meaning Mayriv, you daven a Shemana Esrei of seven brachas and say vidui, v'choisim b'vidui divrei Remeir. And Remeir says, not only do you say vidui, but you say chasima, you say, you end off the bracha with vidui. Meaning Rashi brings from Tesefta, usually at the end of the brachas of Shemana Esrei, usually the end of the middle bracha would be Mekadosh Yisroel v'Yom Kippurim, Mekadosh HaShabbos v'Yisroel v'Yom Kippurim. Here instead, you finish off Hakel HaSolchan, that Hashem who forgives. Say yes, you daven seven brachas, but if you want to complete with vidui, then you could, but if not, then you can complete the bracha the regular way. Rashi brings that, the Kach Shamaiti, that's what I heard from my Rebbeim, but the Girsa in Tesefta is rather different, that talking about Ne'ilah specifically, that the Chachamim are saying you don't have to finish with a bracha of vidui, which, by the way, in Ne'ilah, so what do we have? When we're saying the paragraphs after Noisin and after Hivdalta, so we're saying it after Shemana Esrei, the Chazan again is saying in the middle of Shemana Esrei. For that reason, if Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, the Chazan says, Es Yom HaShabbos Hazeh, Es Yom HaKippurim Hazeh, whereas we do not. Because since when we're saying we finished the essential part of Shemana Esrei, then there's no need to mention Shabbos anymore. Whereas the Chazan is saying in the middle of a bracha, which is going to finish off Mekadosh HaShabbos V'Yisroel V'Yom HaKippurim, so therefore he has to mention Shabbos. Anyway, the point is, the Brice in this Brisa, all you have is, so the first Brisa just said that you daven seven brachas for Ne'ilah. The second Brisa, the Meir and the Chachamim, are arguing only about the Hasima, only about how you finish off the bracha. But they both agree that you need seven brachas. So therefore, Tiyukta de Shmuel. So that's a contradiction on Shmuel, who says that it's only the paragraphs after Hivdalta and after Noisim. And the Gemara says, you're right, Tiyukta, it is a contradiction. And the Halacha is not like Shmuel, the Halacha is like Rab, that Ne'ilah is a full-fledged tefillah of its own. Okay. Talking about the chasima of the bracha, Ula bar Rav noches kameder Rava. Ula bar Rav went and was serving as chazan in front of Rava. Posach ba'arte b'chartanu. He started the bracha by Ne'ilah with arte b'chartanu. V'sim manu mechayenu. In the middle of the bracha, he said the paragraph manu mechayenu, like we do. V'shabche. And Rava praised him for that he had done the right thing. Because that's how you do it. You begin, that's how we do it. When the Chazan repeats Ne'ilah, he starts off with Atav HaChatanu. In the middle of the bracha, he says the paragraphs of Vidui, and then the Ashamnu, and after Noisin, and after Hivdalta. And then he continues with Avakenu of the Kavaseinu, and the rest of the bracha, which is what we do. We also have Slichas in the middle over there, but yeah. Okay. Rav Huna Breder of Nasan Omer V'Yachid Omer Achat Filasei. Rav Huna Breder of Nasan says again that in Ne'ilah also the Yachid says that paragraph after Shemana Esrei, after the main Shemana Esrei is over, which is what we do after Yiyu L'Rotzen, we say Oshamnu, and then we continue with the two paragraphs. Okay. Next, Omer Rav Tfilas Ne'ilah Perteres Eschal Iris. Rav says if a person is davening Ne'ilah, then it patters him from davening Ma'ariv. Now, why should that be so? so. Rav l'taymei. Rav is going according to his own svara. He says that Ne'ila is a separate Shemoneh Esrei of its own. So therefore, v'kivin detzalilei, so once he davened a tefillah, now Rav holds that Ne'ila can take place after it's dark. We said before, we have the machlokes, what Ne'ilat Sha'arim is. Is it the gates of Shemayim or is it the gates of the Azara? If it's the gates of Shemayim, then that would take place only after dark. So you're already davening Ne'ilah after dark. Therefore, Rav says that can stand in for Ma'ariv. The Kivin Tzali, like Tuloy Tzarek. So once you daven a Shemoneh Esrei after Ma'ariv, then you don't have to daven another one. In fact, actually, the Yerushalmi says on it, the vote is that since in that case, if you're davening after Ma'ariv, if you're davening after dark, why are you saying a 7 bracha Shemoneh Esrei? Why not an 18 or 19 bracha one as usual? And the reason is because the Chachamim had Rachmanos on you, it's after a fast day, this way you can finish faster and be able to go and break your fast. And also the idea is, since it's the last tefillah of Yom Kippur, so yeah, maybe it's taking place after Chashecha, but nevertheless, it's still part of Yom Kippur, so it's still a 7 bracha Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, so the question is, Umi Omar Rab Hafi, did Rab really say that? Well, Omar Rab, Halacha Kedivir Emet Tfilas Abbas Rishuas, Rab says that you have the famous Machloikas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, whether Tfilas Aaron and Abaya and Rabba, whether Tfilas Abbas Rishuas or Chayva, and Rab passes like the opinion that Tfilas Abbas Rishuas. So, in any case, you don't have to daven Ma'ariv anyhow. So what is he saying that you're past doing Ma'ariv, implying, in other words, that you would have had to daven it and you're only potter because you daven Ne'ilah? The answer is Lodivra Imchoiva Kamar. Okay, but what he means is according to the opinion that Meir, even according to the opinion that Meir is required, but once you've davened Ne'ilah and it's after Chashecha, then you don't need to. Now, Tosfos does discuss at some length over here, when we say Tefillas Avitz Rishus, doesn't just mean you can get casual about it and say, I can't be bothered to daven Meir. It means where there's a particular reason for a mitzvah, for example, of a mitzvah Iveres, let's say a mitzvah that has to be done now, then that's reason enough to override Meir. Or other reasons, for example, a person already got changed, they shouldn't have to get changed back to daven Meir if we say that it's Rishus. So then, according to that, the idea would be, again, since the Chachamim wanted to give a person a break and allow him to break his fast, and especially Tosfos brings from the Medrash that on Matzoh Yom Kippur it's especially important to have a Suda, and you have a Baskel that comes out and says Lech Echel B'Simcha Lachmecha. So therefore, according to that, then the Chachamim, that would be a reason of a mitzvah enough that if we say Tfilas Arvis Rishus, that he shouldn't need to daven Ma'ariv. So the Gemara says, Mace, you have a contradiction, though. A Brisa, which we had before the Brisa. Or you have a Kapurim Mispal Sheva, or Misvada Sheva, or Misvada, Shachris Sheva, or Misvada. Each Tefillah of Yom Kippur, you have 7 brachas in Vidri, Musaf Sheva, or Misvada, Ben'ilah Mispal Sheva, or Misvada. And then the Brisa continues, Arvis Mispal Sheva, Me'en Shemana Esri. When it comes to Ma'ariv of Yom Kippur, you still have to daven it, but instead of davening full 19 brachas, instead, you say Me'ein Shemoneh Esrei. You say the first 3 brachas. Then you say the paragraph Havineinu, which includes a line for those of us who are learning Shlosha Parakim of Rambam. It was in Rambam yesterday, or we're 2 days ago, where he describes that tefillah. So it's a paragraph that includes a line, a few words, representing each of the brachas. Havineinu Hashem Elokecha L'dasas Derechecha, representing the bracha Atachonen, Umorlus L'Uvenu L'Yurasecha, representing Ashivenu, and so on and so forth. So you daven that, and again, the idea would be that because of a tircha, because you want to be able to prepare food for Matzoy the fast and break your fast, therefore you can daven a short Shemoneh Esrei, right? Rav Chanina ben Gamliel, Mishuma Voisev, Rav Chanina ben Gamliel says in the name of his ancestors, no, Mispala Shemoneh Esrei Shleimus, you have to daven. So Tosfos explains, according to the Tanakhama, why would you be able to get away with Havineinu in that case? Because in a certain sense, you're still fasting, so in a certain sense, it's still part of Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, you daven 7 brachas. On the other hand, it's already after dark, so therefore you should have to daven a weekday Shemoneh Esrei. So the compromise is, you say a Shemoneh Esrei with Havineinu. But Rav Chanina ben Gamliel Mishuma Voisev Mispal Shemoneh Esrei Shleimus, you daven a full Shemoneh Esrei of 18 or nowadays 19 brachas. Mipnei Shetzorich Leimah Habdolah B'Chonin Ados, because in Atachonin you have to say Atachonin Tonu, and there's no room for that in the Nusach of Havineinu. Now, why indeed not? So the Gemara actually in brachas discusses why not, but Tosfos takes up that point over here also. And the Gemara actually asks, why can't you add a word, a few words in Havineinu to represent Atachon Antonu? And the Gemara leaves it at a kasha. So the Rabbeinu Yaakov Meir Leinish in Tosfos, and in Tosfos Yishonim says, so Taka then, the Gemara only left it as kasha, which means that theoretically it should be possible. So why don't we do that? And the answer is because if a person davens Havineinu, because the idea is that that if a person is davening Havineinu throughout the year, and on Motzei Shabbos you want him, he needs to be able to add Atachon Antonu, then fine, he can add a few words to represent that. But here, the whole year, a person is not davening, is not saying Havineinu. It's only on Motzei Yom Kippur. So therefore, we don't want to change it. We don't want to change it from the actual nusach of how it would normally be said. So the point is that both the Tanakhama and Rav Chanina ben Gamliel are agreeing that you have to daven a regular, that you have to daven Ma'ariv, even though you daven Ne'ilah. They're only arguing, do you say Havineinu or do you say the full middle brachas? So what is Rav telling us that you don't have to daven Ma'ariv at all if you daven Ne'ilah? My answer is Tanoi. It's actually Machlokas Tanoim, whether Ne'ilah patters Ma'ariv or not. So we're going to go on with that and explain what that machlokas tanoim is. But actually, since on the face of it, the brisa that was said, that we just quoted, says that you have to daven full, that you have to daven full ma'ariv, and we also have there's other gemaras where there's a gemara someplace else where Rabbi Yochanan argues the rab on that. Therefore, the halacha is in fact that you do have to daven ma'ariv. There's also a point that the Rosh I think makes. That Rav himself used to start in Ne'ilah during the daytime, and he would take a long time over it and finish it after it got dark. We don't do that. We finish Ne'ilah before we finish Ne'ilah before Tzeis HaKavim. So then, for sure, we can't be Yotze Ma'ariv with that, and therefore we need to daven Ma'ariv after Tzeis HaKavim. Okay. So what's the Machlokas Tanoim about the timing of Ne'ilah? So and about whether you're Yotze Ma'ariv with it. So the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Kol Chayove Tfilis, anybody who's Tomei, Tovlin Kedaukan Yom Kippurim, they can Tovel as normal on Yom Kippur, even though we learned earlier in the Perek that Rechitza, you're not allowed on Yom Kippur, but he was doing it not for the sake of bathing, but for the sake of the mitzvah of Toveling and to become Tohar, so therefore they're allowed to. Now most Chayove Tfilis Tovel by day, and then they need head of Shemesh. On the other hand, Nidr v'yeledes tovelus kedaukin v'leili yom kippurim, a Nidr, or a woman who gave birth, they have to tovel by night. Therefore, they tovel on the night going into Yom Kippur, which would be the usual thing. Now, we don't apply that nowadays because Tumah v'Tahara we're not able to keep nowadays because you don't have Parah Aduma and we're not eating Taharas and whatever. So as far as a Nidr and a yeledes, we're going to discuss soon in the Gemara the question of whether Tevila b'zman mitzvah, but nowadays they don't tovel on time anyhow because the way we keep the halachas of Taras and Mishpacha, we kind of combine together the chumras of Nida and Zava, and therefore when a woman is going to the mikveh, it's never at the time when as a Nida she would have been going anyway. As a Nida d'Araisa, she would have been going on the seventh day, on the night after the seventh day from when the bleeding started, and as it is, we wait 5 days and then we have 7 days. So she's never toveling b'zmana anyway, and therefore there's no reason for her to tovel on Yom Kippur. You're going to say to me, matter her to her husband. Yom Kippur night, you can't have relations anyhow. So therefore there's no heter for it. Next, Balkeri. Now a Balkeri, you have the Takonis Ezra, that he's not allowed to daven or learn Torah. So therefore, tovel v'holach adam mincha. He can tovel any time until mincha. So if he became a Balkeri before mincha, then he's able to tovel in order to daven mincha. But according to this, we're saying that if he becomes tomei, if he becomes a balkeri after mincha, then he can't tovel. He'd have to wait until it's dark. And the point would be that opinion holds that ne'ilah takes place by night. So therefore, what he can do is, as soon as Yom Kippur is over, as soon as Tzeis HaKavim comes, he can go tovel. At that point, he's not toveling on Yom Kippur anymore. Then he can daven Ne'ilah. So therefore, according to them, Ne'ilah is taking place at the same time when Ma'ariv usually would. Therefore, that would fit Rav's opinion that Ne'ilah patters Ma'ariv. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos Yeshanim talks about that not necessarily doesn't mean that you're not allowed to tovel. It may just mean there's no reason to tovel because there's not going to be another tefillah on Yom Kippur, but that he could if he wants to. Anyway, Rabbi Yossi, says you're allowed to tovel anytime during the day. The pashtus, because Rabbi Yossi holds that Ne'ilah has to be done before Yom Kippur is over. So therefore, again, you still have another tefillah to daven. So according to him, there's reason to say that Ne'ilah wouldn't pater you from Ma'ariv. So the Gemara says a Raminu. Now, on the other hand, I have a contradiction from another Braisa, which says, a man who had relations with a Nida, where the Torah tells us he becomes Tomei almost to the same degree as her and has to wait 7 days. All such people can tovel normally on Yom Kippur. Again, this is when we were keeping the dinim of Tumah v'Tahara, so it doesn't apply nowadays. Tosef Yerushalmi actually asks a Tommy Mess, what good did it do for a Tommy Mess to Tovel? He's Tommy anyhow. And he gives two answers. One is, now we know that after a person was sprinkled with Pot Adrumal water, he needs a Tovel. So Tosef Yerushalmi gives one answer. Let's say they were over and sprinkled in a Manyam Kippur, Midrabanan. You're not supposed to, but let's say they did. So now he needs a Tovel to complete his Tara. Another possibility would be, let's say, a shot.
When the seventh day is?
We're talking about the seventh. So Midrabanan, you're not allowed to sprinkle some of this Pot Adrumal water on Shabbos or Yom Tov or Yom Kippur. So if his seventh day comes out Yom Kippur, they would have to wait till the next day. But let's say they were over and sprinkled him on Yom Kippur itself. That was the seventh day. So now they could be talking about where he has to tovel on Yom Kippur itself.
Oh, they sprinkle on the seventh day and then he goes straight to the next day.
Right. And then he needs Erev Shem Hashem. Another possibility, Tosafos Rishonim says, is let's say a child was sprinkled on him. A child is not, is only mitzad chinuch that he's not allowed to. So therefore, so nobody stopped him and he went and did that. So now the guy needs to tovel. And then a third possibility is maybe what we mean is they sprinkled him the seventh day. Was Erev Yom Kippur, and now Yom Kippur night, he wants to, sometime during the day on Yom Kippur, he wants Tovel to complete his Tara. He didn't have a chance to do Erev Yom Kippur, let's say. Okay, so anyway, so all of them can Tovel normally on Yom Kippur. Again, Nida Vialetis Tovelus Kedaukin Belele Yom Kippurim. A Nida and a woman who gave birth can Tovel on the night of Yom Kippur, as they usually do. Valkeri Tovel V'Holach Kola Yom Kippur. Again, the second Braisa says Valkeri can Tovel anytime during the day. Rabbi Yossi Amimina Mincho Lamaila Eini Yochol Litvo. Rabbi Yossi says, from Mincha and on, he cannot tovel. So now the question is that Rabbi Yossi seems to be contradicting himself, and the Chachamim seem to be contradicting themselves. In the first Braisa, the Chachamim said the Balkeri can tovel only until Mincha, and Rabbi Yossi had said he can tovel any time during the day, and in the second Braisa, it's the other way around. So they're contradicting themselves. So the answer is, Loikasha, it depends whether he already daven ne'ila or not. If he already daven ne'ila, then there's no need for him to tovel. And according to Rashi, he shouldn't be allowed to tovel. Because at that point, there's no more tefillah of Yom Kippur that being a balkeri is going to block him from saying. As opposed to if he didn't say ne'ila, then there would be reason for him to tovel. So the question is, Edith Sali, my time out did Abanon. Fine, but if he already daven ne'ila, why would the Chachamim say that he's still able to tovel? What is he gaining at that point by toveling? The answer is kasavir abonan tvila bizmanam mitzvah. The answer is the Chachamim may hold that toveling in the proper time is a mitzvah. So in other words, it's true that mitzad davening, mitzad takanas ezra, he doesn't need to tovel anymore. But mitzad regular dinim of tumah v'tahara, there's a mitzvah according to the Chachamim, there's a mitzvah that a person should tovel at the actual time when the Torah tells us to. For example, a balkeri should tovel on the day that he became tamei rather than pushing it off to another day. So the question is, Miklal did Rabbi Yossi sover lav mitzvah? So you're telling me then that Rabbi Yossi holds that it's not that tevila bizmana is not a mitzvah? V'hatanya, we learn in a brisa, hareisha hayashem kosav al basarei. Suppose that a name of Hashem was written on a person's skin. So now you have two problems. The problem is, first of all, the problem of erasing it. Lo sasim came Hashem alekechem. You're not allowed to erase names of Hashem. Second of all, there's the problem that if he undresses, he's going to be standing naked in front of the name of Hashem, which is not respectful. So hareza lo yuchatz v'lo yosuf. He's not allowed to wash or anoint that area because he's going to erase the name. V'lo yamid b'mokam atinofes. He's not allowed to stand in a dirty place where there's tzoyo meiraglayim. In other words, like in a bathroom or an outhouse or something like that. Suppose that this person who has the Shem Hashem written on his skin, suppose he has to tovel for a mitzvah. For example, he was a balkeri or a zav or what have you. Korach olav gemi. What he should do is wrap gemi, which is a type of reed or grass around it, the yoder tovel, and then he can go tovel. Rashi explains that the reason why he'd put gemi around it would be in order to prevent the water from washing away the ink. On the other hand, the Gemara, where the Gemara discusses this in Shabbos and in some other places, and says that actually there's a different reason. We actually had it at the beginning of our Masechta as well. The reason rather is, the Gemara first thinks that that's the reason, but then the Gemara asks, so how does it work? I mean, if you put it on loosely, it's not going to prevent the water from getting, and if you put it on tightly, it's going to be chatzitza. So the answer is, the Gemara says, rather, the reason why you have to put gemi on it is because you're not allowed to stand undressed in front of the name of Hashem. So why Rashi mentions over here only the first point, Poshim discussed then why Rashi mentions only the first point. Anyway, Rabbi Yossi, I mean, Yorid v'Toyvo Kedavre. Rabbi Yossi says he can go ahead and Toyvo normally, over Vad, Shalo Yashafshef, as long as he doesn't actually rub that area of the skin. In other words, Rabbi Yossi is saying if he goes down to Toyvo, it's only a grumma, it's only an indirect thing that he's doing that's going to cause the ink to get washed away. Therefore, that's not a problem. Only if he rubs it with his hand, then he's doing a mice of Yadayim to rub it off. And the Kaimalon de Bitzvila Mizmana Mitzvah Pligi. Now we know when we discussed this in Masechta Shabbos that the underlying machloikus between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim is about Tevila Bizmana Mitzvah. So the Chachamim are saying if you don't have Gemi available, tough luck, you can't Tovel yet. You're going to have to wait until you can get a hold of some Gemi and then you can wrap it around and then you can Tovel. Whereas Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says, you don't have Gemi, no problem. Tevila Bizmana Mitzvah. Go ahead and Tovel right now anyway. The fact that rather than waiting until you can get a hold of Gemi. So we see that Rabbi Yossi holds that Tevila Bizmana is not a mitzvah. Or rather just the opposite. Rabbi Yossi holds Tevila Bizmana is a mitzvah. Therefore, don't wait for Gemi. We just said that according to Rabbi Yossi, it comes out Tevila Bizmana is not a mitzvah. So in the first braisa, Rabbi Yossi had said he can go ahead and toivel, but that was talking about where he didn't daven ne'ilah yet. The second braisa where Rabbi Yossi b'Yehuda says after mincha he can't toivel anymore would be where he already daven ne'ilah, and therefore there's no more tefillah of Yom Kippur awaiting him. And as far as Tevila Bizmana, he holds it's not a mitzvah. What we just said, based on the discussion about the gemi, that he holds it is a mitzvah. The answer is hahi Rabbi Yossi b'Yehuda. That braisa that implies that Tevila Bizmana is not a mitzvah, and therefore that after mincha the Baal Keri can't tovel is not regular Rabbi Yossi, which would be Rabbi Yossi Reb Chalafta, but rather Rabbi Yossi Reb Yehuda. The Tanya, as we learn in another braisa, Rabbi Yossi Reb Yehuda Omer, Daya L'Tevila Shetehei Ba'achroina. You have a case in Masechta Nida of a woman who miscarried and is not sure when she miscarried. Furthermore, also then she has several weeks in a row where she's bleeding every day, and then she has several more weeks, 10 more weeks after that, where she's alternating a week on, a week off of bleeding. And you have a machloikas over there. How many times does she need to tovel? Now you have the various considerations over there. How long does she need for having been a yeledes, and it might have been a boy, and it might have been a girl, and then how long does she need for nida, and how long does she need for zava? So you end up over there. But Shammai holds that during all that period, she has to tovel a total of 95 times. Bis Hillel hold 35, and then Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, Dayala tevila shetei b'achrona, it's enough to tovel one time at the end. In other words, Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel hold Tevila Bizmana Mitzvah. So they hold every time, whenever it comes, a day that might potentially be the end of her 40 days after a boy, or the end of the 80 days after the girl, or the end of the 7 days of Nida, or the end of the seven Nikim of Ziva, whatever, then she needs a Tovel then. And some of those Tevilas take place by day, and some of them by night, because a Zava Tovel by day, and a Nida and a Yoledes Tovel by night. So according to Bes Shammai, they hold 95. Bes Hillel, for reasons that the Gemara explains over there, reduces it down to 35. But they're still holding Tevila Bizmana Mitzvah. They just hold that there's certain Tevilas that we don't need to for that purpose. And then Rabbi Yossi Ben Yehuda says, never mind, 95 or 35. All she needs to, anyway, during all that time, she's not going to be Tahor for sure, because it's always a suffix whether she's still a Nidah or a Zava or a Yoledes or what have you. Therefore, it's enough that she totals one time at the end, and that's enough. So we see that he holds Tevila Bizmana is not a mitzvah. So the braisa earlier when he said Rabbi Yossi Omer and Amin Cholamayla and Yochalitvo would be not Rabbi Yossi b'Chalafta but Rabbi Yossi b'Yehuda. Now the problem is with all of that. Then it comes out if we understand the braisas that way that not necessarily is there anybody who is saying that you daven ne'ilah by night. It seems from everything that we said that it comes out that you daven ne'ilah during the day, and therefore we're saying the machloikas is now after he daven ne'ilah, can he tovels as a Baal Keri because Tevila Bizmana Mitzvah, or can he not? So where do we have a support in any of this for Rav? So among the various answers is because. Even though on the face of it, the braisas contradict Rav, but one rule is when an Amora has a way of explaining a braisa that's not going to contradict him, he's entitled to explain the braisa that way, even if the Stamma de Gemara came out with a different explanation of it. So even though we're explaining that the Rav Yossi in the second braisa is Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda, Rav is not obligated to accept that. So he can understand that, in fact, you have some opinion in these braises that implies that you're allowed to daven ne'ilah by night. And therefore, that supports his opinion that you can daven ne'ilah by night and be yotze mayrit with it. Okay. Again, we said the halacha is not like him, though. The halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan and like the Braisa that we brought at the bottom of Pei Zayin Amud Beis, that you do have to daven Ma'ariv separately. And the halacha is like Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel, by the way, that you have to daven full Ma'ariv, not with Havinei. Okay. Since we're talking about Keri, the Gemara says, Tanan Abanan, Haroya Keri B'yem Kippurim, Yoriv Tovel, he can go and Tovel, like we said before, Ula Erev Yeshavshit. In the evening, he should rub it off because of chatzitza. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, la'erev? What do you mean in the evening after? What do you mean after Yom Kippur, after you already tovel? My to have a habit. What's done is done. What good is rubbing off and getting rid of the chatzitza going to do at that point? The answer is, ela'ema mi ba'erev yeshapshet. Rather, what you should say is, what the Braisa means to say is, that from the evening before, he should be meshapshet. Meaning, Rashi explains, it means that before Yom Kippur begins, every person should be careful to bathe and rub their body with hot water. Because that way, if he should become a Baal Keri tomorrow on Yom Kippur, then this way there won't be any chatzitza on his skin and he'll be able to go in Tovel. Because after all, Yom Kippur itself, he can't wash the rest of his body before Toveling. So therefore, he should make sure to wash himself before Yom Kippur in order that if he has to Tovel tomorrow as a Baal Keri, that he'll be able to. Now, the Maisa we have, in any case, though, there is the Inyan of Toveling on Erev Yom Kippur, and there's a few reasons given for it. One of it is having to do with Shuva. So therefore, we have that you Tovel three times on Erev, that you Tovel three times on Erev Yom Kippur. It's brought about Reb Levick, the Rebbe's father, that one time he was in a situation, I think during the years when he was in exile or whatever, where he couldn't tovel three times at different times during the day, or I think maybe it was when he was still in Yekhatuna Slav, but the Russians had closed down the mikveh and he had to go to the river, whatever. So what he did was he tovelled the one time, came out, dried himself off, got dressed, then undressed again and went in a second time, and the same thing a third time, and that way he was yotze the three tefillas, even though he couldn't do them at different times during the day like we usually do. Anyway, according to Rashi, then, the yeshavshet over here refers to taking a bath before Yom Kippur in order to make sure that on Yom Kippur itself there won't be any chatzitzas on it in case he needs a toilet. Rabbeinu Hananel rather learns differently. Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rif learn rather that what it means is, suppose that he became a Baal Keri during the night of Yom Kippur, then what he should do is the next morning it's dried off on his skin. Therefore, when he needs to tovel, but he can't wash it off like he usually would the rest of the year, therefore he needs to rub it in order to get rid of it in order to get rid of the dried zera on his skin so that he's going to be able to tovel. So kosava mitzvah l'shapshif. So that means this Tana holds it's a mitzvah to bathe in order to wipe it off. So according to Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rif, those words don't belong in the Gemara, which is why they're in parenthesis. Because according to them, we're not talking about, we're saying, of course you need to remove it, it's chatzitza. Whereas according to Rashi's explanation, the point is, you don't technically have to do that before Yom Kippur, but it is a mitzvah too, in case he becomes a Baal Keri and needs to tovel on Yom Kippur. Tony Tana Kamed Rav Nachman. A Tana taught the following in front of Rav Nachman. Haroya Keri, B'yem HaKippurim, if a person has an experience of Keri on Yom Kippur, and Rashi stresses it means Shaloi B'miskaven, not that he meant to, Avinoisav Mechulim Moi, then his Averis are forgiven. The Gemara says, Baltani Avinoisav Sdurin. We have a Braisa that says his Averis are arranged, and the pastor's arranged means like they're there, right there in front of Hashem, and they're going to be dealt, and they're going to be punished. The answer is no. My student limachol. Actually, what it means is they're arranged in order to forgive them, in the sense that the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah that mavi rishin Hashem takes the averus and puts them in order, and then is moichel the first one, and then the second one, and so forth. So therefore, when his averus are arranged, it means that Hashem is preparing to be moichel them on it. So the two brises are saying the same thing. Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, we learn in a brisa of the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, Haroya Keri B'yem HaKippurim, Yidag Kol HaShana Kola. Such a person should worry throughout the entire year. That it might mean, so in the first brisa, we said, Avinoisim Mecholin, because it's a Simen Tov, because the Gemara is going to bring soon a Pasuk, Yira Zera Yarech Yomim, the Gemara doesn't bring it, Rashi and Tosfos bring a Pasuk, Yira Zera Yarech Yomim. Literally, it means that he'll have children and he'll live long, but the Lashon Yireh Zera is a hint for a person who saw Keri, and the result of it is Yarech Yomim, that he's going to live long. But so now we're saying that he should worry the entire year, because on the other hand, maybe what it means is Hashem did not accept his tainess, and therefore, so what did Hashem do? Hashem put him in a situation where he ends up being enjoying one of the things that would be also on Yom Kippur. So therefore, you should worry about that and do tshuva the entire year. The im also loishana, if he lives out the entire year, muftach loishur ben olam haba, then he can be sure that he's a ben olam haba. He must have had tremendous chosim that protected him, and that makes him a, that shows that he's a ben olam haba. Omer of Nachman Yitzchak Teda. You can see that why it's such a why it can end up being such a great thing. Shekol Olam Kulei Roy B'Hu Saveh. You see, the entire world is hungry with a without Tashmish on Yom Kippur, and he has been satisfied with it. So that shows. So he didn't have that inui. So therefore, so but nevertheless, he lasted throughout the whole year. That must mean he's great sad. He also Reb Dimi Omer when Reb Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said. The schos of that will be mapish chaye sagi umasti. He will increase. He'll have long life, and he'll have many children. Again, yira zera yarech yomim. Rashi and Tosfos both bring the pasuk that he sees zera and he will live long. Now, there is a sicha in Chelik Yud Zayin, a hadron for Masechta Yuma, where the Rebbe shtels zechan this. I mean, first of all things, why does Masechta Yuma and especially Perek Yom Kippurim, which is all about the dinim and the kapara and whatever of Yom Kippur, why does it end on such a note? And b'chlal, what's the logic that because of such a negative thing happened, therefore the result of it that he's a ben olam haba and he has all these brachas? Okay, Rashi is saying because he has obviously a lot of ma'asim tovim, but that means those are kind of a side thing. It so happens he has ma'asim tovim, therefore. But in other words, the scene carry itself is in and of itself a negative thing. So why are we ending with that, and why does one lead to the other? The gist of the explanation is, and Rabbi explains. We talked about the other day shuvah me'ava and shuvah me'yira. We also talked about, we had in the Mishnah when Rabbi Akiva had said, Ashrichim Yisrael, lifnei miyat mitaren mimitar eschem. So the Rebbe brings from the Rogatchover that the two expressions refer to two different types of tara. You have, there's the tara that a person has going to the mikveh. That doesn't require kavana. Even a person falls into the mikveh, they become tahor. On the other hand, there's the tara that comes through sprinkling parah adruma water. That requires kavana. So therefore, the Rogatchover explains those reflect the two types of tshuva, tshuva me'ava and tshuva me'yira. Tshuva me'yira being represented by toveling the mikveh, and tshuva me'ava represented by sprinkling a part of adruma water. The vote is, the Rebbe goes on to explain, now we said that tshuva me'ava is donus nasim like hezofius. So the question is why? How do averus turn into mitzvahs? So we said, the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, because that itself propels him to come closer to Hashem. So the Rebbe goes into an arichus over there explaining the vort is, in other words, you have machshire mitzvah, sometimes you have prerequisites that have to be done before mitzvah, and sometimes even those prerequisites themselves are considered a mitzvah. A classic example being chinuch of children. It's only a prerequisite that after bar and bat mitzvah, they should be able to do the mitzvah, but chinuch of children itself is a mitzvah. Therefore, in the same vein over here, when he has something negative and he uses that to do tshuva me'ava, that machshir itself becomes machshire mitzvah and becomes a mitzvah in itself. That is the mechanism by which zonus nasim like hezofius. So now we're saying we're ending off the masechta then on this note. This person had this, on the face of it, terribly negative experience of roya keri b'yemek purim when he's not supposed to. So therefore, yidag kol hashana kula, that should bring him to a higher level of tshuva me'ava throughout the year. And then the result of that is zonus nasim like hezofius, that he now goes to this higher level and is zoicha to these brachas. He's a ben olam haba, mapish chaye sagi umaski, because now he took that and used that as a springboard for tshuva me'ava, and therefore transformed that whole thing, minakotze alakotze, into not something negative, but rather a positive thing that brings him brachas. Hadron alach yemek kippurim, aslikulam asechti yuma.
Why the Mishnah doesn't state that clearly? That it's because he's going to do tshuva, rather than just saying he's valkyrie.
We're understanding that the word yidag, what does it mean he should worry? Is he just supposed to sit there and worry and have wrinkles on his forehead? No, yidag means the kind of worry, what the worry that the positive things that worry should bring, namely tshuva.
What's the lesson of the Mishnah?
Actually, that yidag is gematria 18, is gematria chai, representing that he needs to bring a new chayus into his avodah.
What's the lashon of the Mishnah? The exact lashon?
The Mishnah didn't say. The Braisa said yidag kol hashana kula. Literally, it means he should worry throughout the entire year. But we're saying worrying doesn't just mean worrying as in being concerned. It means doing tshuva. It means doing tshuva, and not just tshuva, but tshuva ilah. B'chlal, you have in Tanya the Alter Rebbe in Geras Tshuva. The Alter Rebbe brings from Zohar that motzi zera l'batola. The Zohar says tshuva is not enough, and the Alter Rebbe explains it means tshuva. It means you need tshuva ilah. Tshuva tatar is not enough. So therefore, it fits over here that he does tshuva ilah, and that brings him to these great brachas.
Yes, but why does it have to be in the Braisa? Why he doesn't state it clearly in the Mishnah, Yidag?
I should say it in the Mishnah. There's lots of things that it doesn't say in a Mishnah and it says in a Braisa. Not everything has to be said in the Mishnah. The Mishnah had ended with the Afakadosh Baruch Hu Mutaris Yisrael. And now we're saying, and now the Braisa is giving us a specific example where a person becomes Torah.
Shkayach.